Hey, friends. Thank you for joining us. It is episode 5 of Between the Swings. We are your hosts, Kyle Jones and Alex Beaverson. Today, we are going to talk about the end of our fantastic golf season. A transition is evident. We championed a phenomenal cause. We partnered with Ernie Els and Els for Autism. We will talk about how our team celebrated our victory of a quarter one success. We'll then dive into the leadership learnings that we're going to talk about with our full-time and part-time team members at Superstition Springs throughout the summer months, how we can elevate ourselves and get just a little bit better for our golfer coming today and for the next golf season. We will dive into our hot find of the week with arguably my new favorite golfer, Cat Williams. After that, we will talk about what summer looks like at Superstition Springs, something that we call Super Summer. Alex, we are here, the end of our golf season. It is May. Talk to me, man. What's up?
Yeah, you have said as you've walked into the office this past month, like the light switch is slowly turning. You're like, it's dimming. The dimming switch is on. And then about a week ago, you came in and you're like, I think it's off. I think we have flipped the light switch off. The golf season has changed. And here we are. It's a time to breathe. It's a time to focus on things that are important. We're not just running like chickens with our heads cut off. May is upon us and it's unique. It's so unique. We've managed this past month, April into May. We talked already about transitioning the grass and how wildly unique that is. I want to hear a little bit about our transition here at Superstition. First, how do you think it's going? You're the manager. We drive the course every single Tuesday with our superintendent, and we like point at stuff. Look at that. Look at, let's change this. Look at, let's, you know, what all that stuff. What's going on in your mind as we're transitioning from this rye type of grass to a Bermuda? How's that going? How are we doing?
Our unplayed employee, Mother Nature.
Mother Nature.
She's hanging out with us, right? It's growing conditions are still fantastic. There's not too much to be concerned with right now. I guess I could do a little bit of a rain dance. I'd love a sprinkling of rain from the time of midnight to 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Once every 2 weeks. I think that would be quite nice. No, outside of that, our transition is going quite nicely. Our greens are firm and fast. We see some Bermuda grass base throughout many of our fairways. Some of our transition areas where we are going to start our own processes are going to be on rough areas or green surrounds.
Yeah.
You will currently see a lot of what we call mechanical preparation or aeration, knife tiding, needle tining, slicing. There's so many different ways or modes of operation to open up the soil and create more room for nutrients, water, and release some compaction, right? So we've started that to help the Bermuda grass come in those rough and green surrounds area. But right now, the ryegrass and fairways and the Poa Triv that we have on our greens is still holding in strong. We'll have to check in probably 30 days from now.
Yeah.
And maybe we're telling a different story, but right now, if you're playing golf in Arizona, go from golf course to golf course, and what their transition plan is going to be for 2024, it's going to be right in front of your face this time of the year. What is their plan? Is it slow the growth of your winter grass so that the summer grass is now taking all of the nutrients and win that battle? Or is it provide your winter grasses with the right supplements so that those can stick around? So you'll find some courses that want their summer grasses to come back right away, and you'll see a major transition period right now. For us, we use a little bit more supplement throughout April.
Okay.
And that's holding on right now. We still have a lot of really nice grass throughout the property.
It's looking good. We had somebody on our Instagram, they commented or they like sent us a message like, I'm from Colorado. This is one of the nicest courses I've ever played. And like that is a statement at Superstition Springs. There's a lot of nice courses, you know, we try to be the best that we can be. We know there's courses that are much better than us. And then we know there's courses that aren't, you know, on our level as well. And for this gentleman to say, this is one of the nicest courses I was able to play on my trip to Arizona, that was baffling. I mean, so yeah, our course is looking good. If a golf course is transitioning poorly right now, will it affect their summer? Will it affect their Bermuda? Like this season, how important is this? It's either your grass dies off and you bring your summer Bermuda in now, or you wait until what, June, July to bring it fully in?
I'm sure there's experts that are going to, you know, that can answer this question better than I can.
Sure.
But first of all, great question. I would say there's it's twofold. One, we haven't really reached perfect Bermuda grass growing conditions yet. Bermuda needs a soil temperature of about 65 or 67 degrees or more for it to have proper growth. And that's going to require nighttime temperatures of 70 to 75 plus for the soil to stay that warm. And so that's why your winter grasses are still going to be strong. We still have plenty of nights that are in the mid 60s or low 60s. That will likely go away in the next couple of weeks. But that's what we're seeing is we're not going to have a ton of Bermuda grass growth yet. One, because of that soil temperature.
Yeah.
And then number two, where you get growth and then also like lateral growth, where your Bermuda grass will start to spread and really take off, it's humidity. And we're not going to face humidity in Phoenix for another couple of weeks, right? We need monsoon season to start kicking up, where those afternoon storms really help Bermuda grass.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not saying that making the choice to transition early is a poor one, because what that's likely going to mean is their Bermuda grass is not going to have much to compete with, and it's going to establish itself, and their summer conditions are going to be here likely much sooner and be a lot nicer than someone who's holding on to a ryegrass, right? Because regardless, you're going to have two different species of grass that are fighting over the same nutrients or supplements for this grass to grow.
Yeah.
So it's really unique.
It's a really unique thing, this phenomena that is overseed. It's two different grasses, you know, only Arizona. There's other places that have it as well, but it's a really unique golf phenomena, the different grasses that come in. And depending on when you're playing golf at a course during that transition, you may see it 1 week, and then 1 week later, you know, we may get a review. Oh, the grass is brown in certain areas. It's like, well, they just aren't educated in the fact that we're literally transitioning our grass. So it truly is unique. But all that to say, it's good to hear that our course specifically is doing pretty well in your eyes.
Yeah, it is.
And so looking back, we did a lot of fun stuff at our course this past month. You had mentioned in the intro partnering with Elves for Autism. What's the foundation, and how did we partner with them uniquely?
Yeah, it started with Arcus Golf partnering with Ernie Els.
Yeah.
Right. So World Hall of Fame golfer. He has built a world-class foundation and Els Performance Center in Florida that is for individuals that are on the autism spectrum disorder spectrum, or just on the spectrum in general. And Arcus has partnered with him for the last couple of years, and I've always challenged myself to improve year over year. And what we ask our golfers to do is partner with us in rounding up at the counter when you're checking in for your round of golf, right? So can we round this up to the nearest dollar in support of Ernie Els and Els for Autism? This is a fundraising partnership that our company, Arcus Golf, does across all of our portfolio. Mm-hmm. And we support Ernie, his family, his mission, and his cause. And I mean, we have learned and celebrated what Ernie's doing, because now one in 36 children is going to be diagnosed with some, you know, spectrum disorder or some neurodivergency that they have to deal with, right? And Ernie is creating an environment for all of these individuals to find a place where they can excel. So we've partnered, we asked all of our golfers, our 5,500 golfers in the month of April, helped us donate $5,800 plus to Ernie L's and L's for Autism in support for what they are doing, not only just at their center in Florida, but across the world in celebrating what people with differences are able to accomplish when they have the right space and environment. So that was a really cool thing to be a part of. And our team knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, it is. If you know anything about Alex, I'm pro nonprofit. I think nonprofits more nonprofits the better. And it's the one space where, you know, it's not for profit. They're not here to get rich. Some poor nonprofits that are run badly do that for people, but they're here to help others. And this is one where it's partnering with golf. It's impacting people beyond the game and stuff that matters. You know, golf is 4 hours, then you go home back to your family. And to look at a foundation out there or the golf course that you just played, knowing it's doing some good for your neighbors, then man, I'm all about that. So it was fun. It was the roundup was an easy ask, you know?
Yeah. When you educate people on what your intention is, on what you're trying to do, we just achieved so much success from, you know, getting to the hearts of our community and sharing what we want to accomplish. And they helped us succeed. So that was a lot of fun to be a part of. We will continue fundraising challenges between now and middle or end of October. So we've got a goal that, you know, we want to get to 15,000. If you heard me earlier, I said 5,800. So a little more than 30% of the way there. Yep. And we're going to push and work hard to have some cool fundraising events to help Ernie and the entire world be a better place.
Yeah. And to our few listeners that maybe will, who are compelled to help us or partner with us, reach out, like send us a message. If this strikes a chord in your heart and you're like, I want to be a part of fundraising or donate dollars towards this cause, we'd love to hear from you. But, that was super, that's super fun. We're going to continue to do that. And then I love what we did at Superstition this past year, this past April specifically. Kyle, you came in January and he presented us with this. I'm going to post a picture of it, but it was like our own master's invite. So we opened it up and it had like, you're invited to the inaugural, you know, it's a golf trip. It was a golf trip. And Kyle challenged our team. You challenged our team that if we hit certain goals, that we're going to go on a golf trip. And the golf trip happened to be in Vegas. And this past April, we hit some goals. We knocked it out of the park, and we found ourselves, you know, middle of April at Angel Park Golf Course, Paiute Golf Course, in Vegas. And man, what a blast! Man, what a blast that was. If you haven't gone on a golf trip, go on one. We all walked into our trip in Vegas and we thought like, I can't wait to, I want to shoot in the '70s. So many people did shoot in the '70s. I want to have the best round of my life. And then you walk away going, yeah, I remember the shots, but I remember the some of the scores I got. I hit from 90 yards in my first time ever holing out a hole. And I did cartwheels on the course.
Fun.
I remember that.
Oh yeah.
But what I actually remember is the moments between the swings, between the rounds, the dinners, the moments. What was your take on the trip?
It was fantastic. I'm always about how can I get my team focused on elevating themselves individually and elevating the entire team as a whole and accomplish new goals.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that we did that. And I'm even more happy that it turned into this fantastic trip. And the intention for the trip was, here at Superstition, we welcome not just dozens, but 50 different golf trips every single golf season. Yeah. Of 8, 12, 16, or 20, right? This small to medium-sized group of individuals going on a trip to hang out, play golf, and enjoy time together. And some of us on the team had never done that. Some of us hadn't ever, you know, spent time on a golf course with a group of people except in high school or golf competitive settings. So to get everybody on the golf course in the same setting, not worried about golf, but still learning about the game, mm-hmm. learning about each other as individuals, and becoming a closer knit group of guys, it was a massive success.
Yeah.
It was a lot more fun than I could have thought it was. And we came back ready to knock stuff out of the park, ready to, you know, be even better than we were before. What you said was you remember your hole out, you remember playing good golf, but you remember the moments between the swings. I second that. I remember obsessing over like wanting to play good golf.
Yeah.
I wanted to play good golf. And I practiced and I've been working hard on my swing, and I did. And I'm so happy that I played some fantastic golf.
You did.
But my favorite parts, it's probably the meals.
Come on.
It's probably the meals when all of us were sitting around the table, whether it was an old fashioned, a glass of wine, or just sparkling water or iced tea. We sat there and recounted the day that we had just experienced and relived those shots and relived those moments between the swings. And it was a blast. And I can remember every time we sat down together as a group to talk about our rounds. Yeah. So it was cool, because so much on the golf course, you're experiencing yourself, or you happen to be experiencing it with the person you're in a golf cart with. Mm-hmm. So to get, you know, all six of us together around the dinner table and chat, it was unique. It was a really special experience.
I got goosebumps thinking yes. about it, because it really was, man. The golf was the foundation of it. And as industry professionals, we put our hats on thinking, you know, oh, what did we experience this course? You know, what was the marshal like, the starters, you know, what was the guest service? All that was good. And then you get on course and we took our management caps off for a second, and we were brothers and we were friends, and we all six of us. And we then sat around the table talking about eating steak and like, dude, that shot today was nuts, dude. And you know, and then that's what sticks out to me, you know,
that's it. That's the game of golf, right? So it's the time that we spent before, during, and after a round of golf,
yeah,
talking about the experience that it provided. So it was so cool.
It was so cool. And yeah, a leadership axiom I live by is celebrate what you want to replicate. And for us to come back and celebrate with our, like, we celebrated as a team that we did pretty well this season. And maybe in future seasons, we won't do that well. And we may have to say, hey, this trip isn't earned or whatever. But we come back and the other people who weren't on the trip were like, dude, how was it? Maybe, you know, next year I could come along. And now it's culture building. You know, a trip like this for our team, for what we did, was culture setting. And, you know, it allows for us to grow our organization in a way that like has something out there that we're reaching for and striving for. If that's a golf trip, let it be. But, you know, we're now driving for something as a team. We experience something together. We come back with those, you know, you had to be there moments, and people are like, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that camaraderie.
Talking about what's next. What's next for the thing for us to accomplish?
Yeah.
And then what's next for us to celebrate once we do that? So it's a joy to do that together with the people that we lead. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really great.
So we are entering into, we come back from the golf trip, super fun. And one thing I've loved about working here is we're managers. We both hold the title general manager, assistant general manager. But we're leaders as well. And every staff meeting, I'm going to post your notes at some point, because Kyle makes these awesome, like, you know, it's virtually our agenda for the day. But you always have these leadership learnings, these lean-ins for us as our team to now go and lead our teams. And all of us have different size teams. In that meeting is our superintendent. He has a, you know, the maintenance team, you know, quote unquote maintenance team, irrigation tech, the people that mow the lawns, the greens, a big role. Then you have other people that maybe have a couple people on their team, the whole golf staff, the outside service team, and all of us can leave these meetings better leaders leading with intention. We're going to be walking through a book, and I'm curious what that book is. I haven't started it yet. You're pretty deep into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an old book. I really old, written in the 19 early. I mean, I was.
Yeah, I mean, it's Dale Carnegie.
Dale Carnegie.
Right, so Dale Carnegie is well known. What we are going to dive through as a team is how to win friends and influence people. Mm. And what I'm excited about is this is the version where it's how to win friends and influence people in the digital age. So it talks so much about the intention and ideas of Dale Carnegie, which I enjoy as a leader. And then it talks about this idea of living in the digital age,
yeah,
and how every one of us, with all the different social media platforms or online presences that we create as individuals, there's a lot of different faceted identities, mm-hmm, of ourselves as an individual out there, right? And so this talks about communication when you have the opportunity to be face-to-face with someone. Because in this day and age, that's not all too common anymore.
Yeah.
And what we talk about just in our staff meeting last week was, in the digital age where we have all of these faceted identities, let's take the time to understand that when we are face-to-face, it's a unique opportunity these days to really make an impact. And that's where we can control how someone is going to perceive our identity, right? So when someone's standing in front of us, that's our opportunity to be our most, you know, true and unique version of ourselves and show you that we are here for you. And so there's so much that we can dive and talk into this book, but the general sense is that I fell in love with this book and I want to lead the team. The one concept that I want the team to walk away from this book understanding is there's no such thing as a neutral exchange. You leave someone either a little better or a little worse. So two human beings who have their own set of experiences, thoughts, feelings, emotions, stresses, problems, dreams, when they're coming together face to face and have an interaction, there's shared time, there's shared energy, and there's shared impact. So there's no way that either one of them can walk away as if nothing had ever happened. And so if we can adapt the mentality of, I know that in the conversation I'm having right now, myself and the other individual are either going to walk away a tiny bit better or a tiny bit worse.
Hmm.
Let me always put my cards on the table so that I'm in the camp where we're leaving a little bit positive.
That's right.
Let me put my energy, my intention, and my decision-making into this conversation, this interaction, so that we leave a little bit better. And sometimes that takes the relentless pursuit of selflessness. And that's what I feel we are striving to do in the ultimate pursuit of hospitality.
Yep.
And by no way, shape, or form am I saying that the individual and their feelings don't matter. What I'm saying is that when we are stepping into the role of a servant, or you and I as a servant leader, let's be as selfless as we can so that in this conversation, the other person's walking away a winner, right?
Yeah.
I'll go back to something I said, you know, quoting Ted Lasso and how he said, I'm an assist man, so that way we both win. If I am obsessing over passing the ball at the perfect time, I'm going to get an assist and you're going to get a score.
Yeah.
But if I was always focused on scoring and so were you, you'd see that both of our opportunities to score or both of our opportunities to walk away a little bit better, it's going to be a lot harder to accomplish that.
Yeah.
And so this book just talks about that communication and how we can put on this cap of anticipating the feelings and thoughts of the other person and how we can take an interest in them. So it's a lot about communication, a lot about human interaction. So we will dive into that as a team and see how we can walk away from that really understanding, hey, I'm going to knock this next interaction out of the park.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I'm going to do that again and again and again. And before we know it, it's a team full of expert, you know, hospitality service members. So we'll see how we get there.
It's fascinating because, you know, we live online. Everyone has an identity online. Our golf course has an identity online. And people have an experience with that online personality. It could be positive, it could be negative, but like you said, when you are able to sit with a person face to face, put all your cards on the table, they're going to walk away either changed or a better person, or just a positive interaction or a negative one. There's a lot of power in the face to face these days, you know, and somebody coming into our golf course, practically speaking, may have checked us out online, have an idea of what the day is going to look like, or maybe they've only scrolled online for the day. We're their first interaction with the person. And we have that opportunity to be like, hey, welcome. How are you? How's your day? What can I do for you today? And they're going to leave that interaction going, I'm starting my day on the right foot or the wrong one. That's a torch to carry, man. It's a lot of pressure when you think about it that way. Because in the digital age, so much of things are curated online and you can't do that in face to face. It's more pure. It's natural. It's you. And because of that, you can impact people in a pure and natural way. And I'm excited to dive in. I'm excited to really see how, you know, our team is going to adjust our you know, hospitality focus in thinking about the impact we can have on people face to face. Knee to knee, eye to eye, over the counter, checking them in at the golf shop, interacting with them as marshals on the course, or just being friends with people, you know, it's important. It's important.
Being good at golf, I feel is the ante in the game these days.
Yeah.
You know, let's make the decisions and the, you know, anticipation that we have as individuals and employees. Let's let that be the difference maker. You know, let's let that be felt and really enjoyed here at our property. And, yeah. And that's, you know, that's, you know, part of the leadership that I want my team to follow.
It's also fun to think that we are golf professionals and we're reading books that have nothing to do with golf and everything to do with people. Mm. You know, when I came into the golf industry early on, and certainly this past year, I thought it'd be golf, 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 golf. And I think what I've enjoyed is it's people, 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 people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, thanks for noticing that. Yeah. That's powerful, because what we are doing is we're creating an environment for people's lives to happen at their best.
Yeah.
Right? Because I feel like when I'm on the golf course, I'm so present. I'm so appreciative of the current opportunity and what I'm doing and where I'm at, that life is happening at its best. And in a world full of screens and 5-second interactions and, you know, trying to get to the next thing, we're providing the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Right? We're providing the antagonist to that story, you know, a chance to slow down, stop what you're doing, and take a look around at the world around you.
Yeah.
So there's so much to talk about in the book, and so much to talk about in how different people view golf.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump into this episode's hot find of the week.
Tell me about it.
It's going to be unique. This is not an item for you to buy. This is something I want to encourage you, our listener, to watch. We will post a short video of Cat Williams talking about what the game of golf means to him. And here's a guy who's supposed to be lighthearted, funny. He's a comedian, right? He's here to make us all laugh. And man, he hits it on the head. He gets heavy for a second.
He does.
Here's the game of golf, where we're setting up 18 unique holes with their own set of obstacles and challenges. Some of them you can see, some of them you can't see. And he goes into talking about that, how that affects life, how that affects how you react on the golf course, and how you use the skills in hand to react. So tell me, what did you think about
it? You've mentioned it to me before, but like golf, and Cat Williams talks about this, golf is a good metaphor for life, because no matter where you hit it, you got to deal with the next lie. And the goal is to get there in as many as possible. But if you hit, if it takes you 10 strokes to get there, then you got to deal with that. You know, the next hole, you're already 10 strokes deep and you want to get through the hole as clean as possible. He says something like that in his little interview talking about the value of golf for him. And it is fascinating to hear his take on like when he's out there. I think he said, honestly, my favorite part was when he said something like, out here, I am wholly myself. I'm smoking, I'm drinking, and I'm watching nature. I'm stretching. I'm out here. I am me.
I'm enjoying the things that I love most about my life.
Yes.
On the golf course.
On the golf course.
Boom.
And then he just proceeds to talk about the thing. Like at the core of it all, he really touches on why people love golf.
Yeah.
I love watching good golf. I love watching the PGA golfer shoot under par and, you know, these long drives. But why I like it and going out is exactly what he said. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly in life hits you and you're like, gosh, I had a tough work meeting, or I'm struggling with my budget, or I made a bad decision, and you have to live with it. And you got to figure out how to not three putt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He says like, I might get to the green easily, but I might still three putt or whatever he said.
I was going to say that was probably my favorite part of his video. And he says, I might hit three perfect shots or three great shots, but that has nothing to do with my ability to three putt once I get there.
Yes.
And how perfect about displaying the game of golf and its opportunity to challenge every single aspect of what we bring to the table that day.
Yeah.
And if one day your driving's perfect, but something else is off, and then the next day your driving's off, and then now your chipping, which was horrible the day before, is now on, it's all about how you react.
Yeah.
And I've said that before. And this actually brings up something that, you know, you say I have these quotes that we talk about in our staff meeting. And what Kat is talking about is so much about one of the things that I said, and about how to control, you know, your emotions and how to react appropriately. And what resonates with me with this video and Kat Williams is this thought here. You are not the sum of your thoughts and emotions. What you are is a reflection of how you choose to react to those thoughts and emotions. And that is so true of the game of golf and chasing after a golf ball, because I can strike the golf ball exactly how I intended to. Yet I can't count the number of variables that can impact where that golf ball is going to end up that I have no control over once that golf ball is in the air.
Totally.
And how I react is how I react. And once I get there, I've got 14 clubs to try and figure it out, and let me see what I can do.
Yeah.
It's all about how I react and how I control my own emotions to perform at the best of my ability.
Yeah. We at Angel Park, hole number one, I pipe a drive down the center. You hit, I think it was hole number one. You went way left in the rocks, two holes in a row, and you saved par. It was crazy. So it was a crazy moment, but it all comes back to this idea of like, okay, it's not about how I got here. It's not about what I'm thinking, but it's about what I do with what I'm thinking. Right. And golf is a purest way. Obviously we're in the golf industry, so it's always there with us, but it's like, it's such a pure way to think about life and think about like, I got to put my past behind me. This is my lie. My goal is to get there as little as possible. Do I need to lay up? Do I need to hit it off to the right? Do I want to go for the green? Well, that's a risky shot, right? Whatever the case may be. It's not about what you're thinking, but it's about what you do with what you're thinking, right?
Yeah. Every shot is its own obstacle. It's an own problem that you have to solve.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about golf, there's no pictures on a scorecard, right?
Yeah.
You can choose to solve that problem in a number of different ways.
Totally.
You just have to choose the one that you're most comfortable with or you think is going to get you the best outcome.
Yeah.
So no, it's funny that you bring that up, because that's so true. And not only is each shot its own challenge, but also its own hole. How many times have we walked away frustrated on one hole, and then you come back, hit two phenomenal shots or three phenomenal shots, you make a birdie, and now you're right back to enjoying yourself.
Totally.
So every hole is just like a new day.
Yeah, and I mean, that's man, that's life. You know, there's people out there that feel like you're in a, you know, maybe you're listening, you feel like you're in a rut, you feel like you're struggling with your family, your spouse, your life, wherever you are. And just like in golf, two shots can change your perspective. And so keep your head up, fight through it. Think about, you know, think about the positives, figure out how to, you know, figure out how to get out of it. Don't be defined by your past. All of this is what I've learned in the game of golf that I think can actually apply to life.
Yeah.
And that's what Cat Williams is talking about. That's what we're about here. Yeah, so
that's so true.
All that, I think I did make a joke at Angel Park. We spent all this money to play golf and they spent so much time curating the greens and the fairways only for you to hit it in the rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. That first round, it was making par from everywhere. So that was a lot of fun. That part was a lot of fun, but no, there was a couple holes that were a little sideways. Yeah. I got to experience a lot of the topography and golf course that was out there. So good news is it still took what? 78 strokes that
yeah,
morning.
Yeah. I mean,
so
it was okay. You still smoked.
It was okay.
Pretty much everybody out there.
Yeah.
All right, so let's finish this episode by talking about Super Summer.
Mm-hmm.
So Super Summer is our tagline here at Superstition Springs. Experience a super summer with us, meaning experience your summer with Superstition, where we don't stop welcoming and celebrating.
So true.
And we want people to come here and experience who we are as a golf course, who we are as people. We want to grow as an organization, but we also want to recognize that it's not golf season. But with that comes uniqueness of being able to run some different types of events. Twilight Golf is going to be, it's going to be there, baby. So we have a handful of events. What events are you looking forward to that we're going to be running this summer?
Super Summer is our chance to spend a lot of time thinking about our golfer, because we have a lot of time to execute and a lot of time to then spend with them. So it's our opportunity to do things a little bit different than normal.
Yeah.
Sips and Stogies is going to be a fantastic night, right? So Friday night, Memorial Day weekend, come on out. We'll have cigars, tastings from a couple different vendors, just $25 to get your first cigar and tasting. And then of course there's more tasting and cocktail prices on top of it after that I'm really looking forward to. But the one that's really on my mind, it's going to be our summer kickoff party.
Heck yeah.
On June 1st, we're going to get different. We're going to host what we call the pot game.
Yeah.
The pot game is a game where all golfers will play the hole at the same exact time in groups of 5 to 8 in a scramble.
So wait, 5 to 8 people play at the same time, or all 40 of, because let's just say we have 32 mm-hmm, to 40 people mm-hmm. come play. Are all 40 of us playing the hole at the same time?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir. So it's horse race like. Okay. If people understand what horse races are in golf, it's going to be a team scramble where all the golf pros of the facility will be the team captains. Everyone participating will provide their handicap or, you know, general playing ability, and there will be splitting of the teams. And the goal is to get large teams, right? 6, 7, 8 players a team, so that you're almost guaranteeing birdie on holes, and maybe even trying to get some chip in or hole out eagles every once in a while. Everybody's playing golf at the same exact time. Bev cart is out there following you. There's music, there's drinks. It's 9 holes of golf. If it goes to a playoff, there's a playoff for 1 or 2 holes. If it's still tied, there goes to a chip off challenge. Mm. And then that night, we'll, you know, celebrate with a little taco fiesta with a DJ and following it up with another tasting that night too. So a Saturday evening full of golf and festivities kicking off the summer season, saying thank you for choosing us, because yeah. We know you have so many golf courses to choose. Your options are limitless in the summer. And this is our opportunity to say, hey, if you're choosing us, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get people who are spending their time anticipating how they can welcome you to a fantastic evening. So not only do we look forward to unique events like the Sips and Stogies or the June 1st summer kickoff golf and cocktail hour afterwards, but we'd also love to hear from, you know, our golfers, from you who's listening on, man, I'd love to see this event at Superstition because what I picture my facility outside of 18 holes, it's a community center, right? I mean, we've got a massive building here. We've got four stories, lots of doors, lots of stairs, lots of opportunity to welcome people and have a good time. So this is our opportunity to challenge ourselves and host events and activities that welcome people to do different things that maybe we haven't done before. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited for that as well. It's our super summer is going to really set the tone for the summer. Hopefully you see some new faces. And I will say, you know, if you are out there and you're like, I've not heard of this pot game, it sounds interesting, I'm not sure, just sign up and come. We'd love for you to experience a different, we're playing golf, but it's a different golf. It's fast. It's fun. It's camaraderie. And it's the perfect time to do it in the summertime. So I got to say, just sign up and let us know if you can be a part of it. So we'd love to have you. But it's gonna be a super summer, man.
It is. It's gonna be a super summer. We're gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna, you know, celebrate the fun times with our golfers. So I hope we see some people joining us and having a great time.
Heck yeah. Well, this concludes episode 5, and we're really glad for those of you that decided to tune in on Apple, Spotify. You know, maybe if you're just watching a short on Instagram, thanks for so much for tuning in. We love having you. Let's remember the importance of embracing the moments between the swings.
That's right. Remember to enjoy those moments between the swings.
We'll see you next time.
Enjoy it.